Would you just join me in prayer? Have you ever got up in the, on a morning and you just felt like, man, I just cannot get going? This morning, I got to tell you, it feels a little bit like that. There's some mornings that are like that, and yet God still is faithful. He ministered powerfully to some individuals around the altar, and I believe he's going to bring a word to us as well. So let's invite him to come. Father, we thank you and we praise you. As we stand here right now, Lord, we come to your word and we honor your word. We know that, Lord, it always, your word, because it's alive and living, always has something to say and to speak to us. And today, our hearts are hungry. We want to hear what you're saying. I believe, I know, Lord, there's some individuals that are sitting here, Lord, that need to hear this word about life after the storm. And Lord, and there may be those of us that are sitting here, we don't yet know, but Lord, this is going to deposit something in us for use later. And so we are eager to hear what the Spirit says to us today, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. For the last 2 weeks, I have been preaching about God's voice and the storm. God's voice and the storm. I've been telling you about the camping trip that we took, our family, Mr. Green and Miss Green, Geraldine and I, and Danielle Caselin, three generations, all of us backpack camping. And most of you know the story by now. Some of you have not heard it before, but it turned out to be a wonderful trip until the last night. And then there was a 4 to 6 inch rainstorm that lasted for about 6 hours. Like to wash us off the mountain. I mean, it was unbelievable, that storm, that just lightning. We found out later as we walked out, we found out that there were tornadoes in the area. Trees had fallen across the path. We had to climb across trees to get back out. It was unbelievable. The one thing that I haven't mentioned to you about the camping trip was the wonderful food that we ate. The girls kept asking, what can we, and look at them, they're shaking their head already, and so is Miss Green. They kept asking, what can we take to eat? And I said, anything you can carry on your back. It's only 4.5 miles in there, so anything you can backpack in, you can eat. And so for 3 days, we had, for breakfast, we had dried oatmeal. For lunch, we had dried potatoes. And for supper, we had dried soup. We did carry one potato apiece in. And Geraldine did she took one bag of M&Ms. Because she couldn't tote anymore. She took one bag. Her backpack was too heavy with everything. She took one bag of M&Ms and rationed them out for the whole 3 days. Now, I got to tell you, I'm a camper, and so dried oatmeal, dried potatoes, and dried soup, and plus, we had fresh filtered spring water right out of the creek. It doesn't get any better than that, does it, Mike? I mean, that's a camper's gourmet. It doesn't get any better than that. Would you believe when we got back to the truck, Geraldine says, the first store we come to, the first store we come to, you better stop. We come up, there's this little old country store, and the store owner thought, I mean, they went in there, they're buying candy bars and ice cream and Cokes and everything they could get their hands on. That lasted for about, I mean, I just about purchased the place out. Not only that, the first Geraldine said, once we got through with that, Geraldine said, okay, now that we're past that, the first buffet we come to. Right, see, I said, what was that? She said, that was just emergency. We had to do it. The first buffet we come to, and sure enough, the first buffet, the first Ryan's that we saw, they went in there, they acted like they hadn't eaten anything in 3 days. We had dried oatmeal, dried potatoes, and dried soup for 3 days. I remember Geraldine sitting there, and as she's eating a piece of chicken, and she has mashed potatoes with a lake of gravy. Because she hadn't eaten in 3 days. A lake of gravy and a biscuit, and she's eating that, and she says, there is life after camping. And you know, there is life after the storm. Some of you that are sitting here this morning, I've watched it for 3 weeks now. It's been fascinating to me the way God works. And now that he has brought individuals and he's brought people in, and some of you, for 3 weeks in a row, I've prayed for you, and God is, this series, God has been speaking and getting into your life about going through the storm and facing the storm and making it through the storm. And I'm just amazed at what God's doing in your life and the way He's speaking into your life. We're taking this story we've been talking about for several weeks or 3 weeks. We've been talking about the story in Acts, the 27th chapter. Let me just rehearse it real quickly, just real briefly, because most of you have been here and you've heard it. Remember, Paul is on a ship. He is headed to Rome to stand before Caesar. They have run into a horrendous storm. There's the reasons that they ran into the storm. I won't go into that this morning. We've talked about it before. But they find themselves in the storm, and they've done everything they know to do. Can anybody identify? You ever been in a storm and you've done everything you know to do? I mean, they did everything they know to do. The first thing they did is they stopped trying to fight the storm and they just went with the wind because they felt like the storm was just going to tear the boat apart. The next thing that they did is they took ropes and tied the boat together. You know you're in trouble when you've got to tie your boat together in a storm. The next thing that they did is they threw the anchor out just to try to slow themselves down from being driven along so fast. The next thing they did was they threw the cargo, the valuable cargo, overboard. The next thing they did was they threw the tackle overboard. When a fisherman throws his tackle overboard, I mean, all is just about lost then. It was so black for so long that they did not know if it was night or day. Finally, the Bible tells us in Acts 27, the 20th verse, that they finally gave up all hope of being saved. Can anybody identify? Anybody identify what I'm talking about this morning? And please excuse my voice. I've had a bit of a relapse on it. Please excuse the hoarseness of my voice this morning. But they had finally given up all hope of being saved. But in the middle of that, God has something to say. How many of you know this morning that God has something to say about your storm? God has something to say about what you face. God has something to say about what you are in the middle of. And as they were there, Paul has a word from God that changes everything. We've talked about it for 3 weeks. Let me read it to you again this morning. Last night, an angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, stood beside me and said, "Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar. And God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up the courage, men." Amen? Keep up the courage, for I have faith in God that it will be just as He has told me. And this verse, as we've talked about for 2 weeks now, this verse changes everything. The first week we discovered as we talked about this is that God is greater than the storm. How many of you know that this morning? God's voice is greater than the storm because God is greater than the storm. God is not threatened by your storm. God is not threatened by the storm that comes into your life. God's sovereignty and His control and His power, God's throne is not threatened. His voice is greater than the storm because God is greater than the storm. And because God is greater than the storm, you can trust His voice in the middle of the storm. Amen? God is greater. God is greater. God takes a personal interest in your storm. And we talked about that the first week. Listen, you have been through some stuff with God, and God's not going to let you down now. He's not going to leave you now. He's not going to leave you alone in the storm now. You've been through some stuff with God, and you can trust His voice in the storm. God is greater. That's what we talked about the first week. Second week that we talked, we discovered that there is victory in the storm. Victory in the storm. We didn't talk last week about victory after the storm. We're going to talk about life after the storm. I'm telling you, there is victory in the storm. Sometimes when we get caught up in the storm, it is so easy to get this sense, to get this feel that if this thing will finally get over, I'll have victory. When this thing is finally passed, I'll have victory. I have news for you this morning. We talked about it last week. There is victory in the middle of the storm, in the midst of the storm, because God is in the midst of the storm. We talked about 4 ways last week that there's victory in the storm. One is through fear. God's voice is greater than the voice of fear. Amen? The voice of fear wants to tell you you're not going to make it. The voice of fear wants to tell you you're not going to make it through. You're not going to get through. That this is the last of you. But God's voice is greater than the storm. We talked about that last week. Another place that God's voice makes a difference is in trust. Again, we talked about that last week. God's voice is greater than human intervention. Sooner or later, at some point, you will come to a place in your life where you've got to say, "God, I'm cutting loose the lifeboat. I'm going to stay with the ship because you stayed with the ship. I'm not going to run off on my own way or do my own thing. I'm trusting you, God. My confidence and my hope is in you." God's voice makes a difference in the storm. God's voice makes a difference in encouragement. There is victory in encouragement. We talked about that last week. God's voice is greater than the voice of discouragement. If you are sitting here this morning, you have been discouraged in the midst of your storm, I want you to know God's voice is greater than discouragement. And then the last thing we talked about last week is providence. That is that God is in control. Turn to somebody and say, God is in control. God is in control. In fact, we saw from the story last week that God even used the heathen jailer, the heathen centurion, to make sure that Paul and the slaves, or the ones that were the prisoners there, were not killed. God moved ahead of them. He went ahead of them to make sure that his plan was still taking place. When the centurion or the guards had decided to kill them, God said, oh no, he put it in his heart and he saved them. God's voice is greater than the storm. There is victory in the middle of the storm. This morning, I want to talk with you about one last aspect of the storm. And that is, there is life after the storm. Anybody here this morning that can identify with what I'm talking about? You've been through some things. You've been through some stuff. I'm telling you, in your relationship with God, I don't know quite how to put this, but you just have to go through some stuff. You just have to go through some stuff. But the thing is, when you go through some stuff, you know you can go through some stuff. And I know, and I can look around and I can see in different lives, when you've been through some things that you didn't expect, some things that came out of nowhere, some things that surprised you and surprised your life. But here you are. Hello, are you here? Here you are. It didn't kill you, even though fear told you it was going to kill you. It wasn't the last of you, even though discouragement told you it was going to be the last of you. It didn't thwart your life and tie you. Here you are, amen, here you are. God's voice is in the middle of the storm. And there is life after the storm. I want to talk with you, but God, listen to me. God controls the storm. God controls the storm. Because he has a plan for you after the storm. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Ron, God controls the storm in your life because he has a plan for you after the storm. He has something he wants to do and something that he wants to accomplish and something that he wants to do through you. So, if you know God controls the storm because God has a plan for you after the storm, you can trust God's voice in the middle of the storm. Why? Because this is not the end of it. This is not where it stops. This is not where it's over. This is just a passageway to something else. There is life after the storm. Life after the storm. I want to talk with you just a few minutes about that this morning. I want to go back to that same text that we had. And I want to pull out one phrase that we haven't talked about yet this morning. And notice this one phrase, verse 24, do not be afraid, Paul, for you must stand trial before Caesar. Turn to somebody and say, do not be afraid. Now turn to somebody else and say, I am not afraid. In the middle of this verse that we've been talking about now for 2 weeks, there is this one phrase that we have not talked about yet. That phrase, do not be afraid. Now, I made a statement last week, and I talked a little bit about fear, and I made a statement last week that fear tries to come inside into everybody's life. Listen to me this one. I don't care who you are. Fear will try to come into your life. Fear will try to overwhelm you. That's just one of the tactics of the enemy. It comes in. In fact, it may well be. It may well be, because we talked about it last week, when you look at verse Acts 27 and 10 and Acts 27 and 27, you find that Paul's mind has changed. In verse 10, he said, it looked like our lives are in danger, but in verse 25, he says, not one of us had been lost. So it seems that while there was fear, now there's not fear, and God's voice made a difference in the middle of that. And so what we need to understand here is, what is Paul talking about? He says, do not be afraid. I want to talk with you a little bit about this idea of fear, because it may be a little bit different than we think. Fear is not just towering in the corner or cowering in the corner. Fear is not just sitting in the corner and being in fear or afraid. It is a fascinating word. This word literally means, this word fear means to be in awe or to revere. It's a fascinating word. In this context, God is telling Paul, do not fear the storm, or do not be afraid, or do not be in awe of or revere the storm. Now understand what God is God is trying in the context here. God was saying to Paul, do not be in awe of the storm, Paul. Do not revere the storm, Paul. Do not bow before the storm. In other words, what Paul was saying is, listen, don't get your eyes off of what's important here. Don't get your eyes off of what I've told you and what I've promised you and what I've said to you. Keep your eyes. Do not awe or be in fear or be in reverence of the storm. Why? Watch this. Because Paul had to stand before Caesar. Are you understanding what I'm saying? God had said to Paul, before Paul ever got on the ship, God had said to Paul, Paul, you're going to stand before Caesar. You are going to stand before him, and you are going to give witness, and you are going to give testimony to me before Caesar. Now watch this. After God gave that promise to Paul, then Paul ends up on the ship. Paul ends up on the ship. He's in the middle of this storm that we've been talking about for 2 or 3 weeks. And the temptation, watch this now, the temptation will be to get your eyes off of the promise and to get your eyes on the storm. The temptation will be to get your eyes to stop listening to the promise of God that he has spoken into your life and he has said into your life and start hearing the howl of the storm. The temptation will be to be in reverence or in awe of the storm. Watch what he's saying here. Listen to me. There's some storms in your life that come into your life. What I'm telling you this morning is do not be in awe of the storms of your life. Do not revere them. Do not let them control you. Do not bow before the storms in your life. And you might say, Pastor, how do we do that? I'm not sure that I understand what you're saying. I'm not sure that I get what you're getting at here. How do we fear? How do we all stand in awe? How do we stand in reverence to the storm? It can happen to all of us. It can happen to the best of us. In fact, it may have been happening to Paul. We talked about that last week. Let me just give you 2 or 3 ways that I think we sometimes in our life, and I hope this knowledge, this information from the Word here, this understanding about storms in our life will help to free up some things in life. One way that we stand in awe of the storms, listen to me. If the storm displaces your trust in God, you are in awe of the storm. Are you understanding me? If the storm displaces your trust in God, then you are in awe, you are in reverence of the storm rather than in awe and in reverence of God. Are you following? Who are we supposed to be in awe of? We're supposed to be in awe of God. We're supposed to be in reverence to God. Our trust, our confidence, our hope is in God. But sometimes the storm becomes so deep. The storm becomes so vast. The storm becomes so high sometimes that we actually begin to awe and fear and reverence the storm and put our trust in the storm more than we do in God. And when we do that, we're honoring the storm more than we're honoring God. We become convinced we have more trust in the storm than we do in that God can deliver us from the storm. That when we do that, you are in fear, and we are in fear of the storm. Listen to me. When our trust in God is displaced by our trust in the Lord, then we become to reverence and awe the storm more than God. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Are you following what I'm saying this morning? See, it's easy. They're easier than we think sometimes to think there is. Let me see if I can illustrate it. Anybody ever been in a place where you said, nothing can change this? It's been this way all of my life. It looks like it's going to be. It looks like it'll never change. It looks like it'll never be different. It looks like I'll always be in this place. You understand what I'm trying to? What have you begun to? You've begun to put more trust in the storm than in God's promise to you before the storm. Listen to me this morning. If God's made you a promise before the storm, he hasn't forgotten his promise. His promise, the storm doesn't nullify his promise. It doesn't put his promise to the side. Hang on to the promise. Hang on to the promise. Hang on to the promise even in the midst of the storm, my friend. And sometimes we can allow our lives, our trust to become displaced. It becomes a place where sometimes I've watched In fact, Jillian and I used to do a lot more counseling than we do now, and I'm amazed at the people that come in sometimes and all of their confidence and all of their trust, they are absolutely certain that life is over. They put more confidence in their problem, in their issue, in their hang-up, in their habit, in their addiction than they have in God, the Redeemer, who can deliver them. That's what God was saying to Paul here. He was saying, Paul, don't allow your trust to be in God to be replaced by your fear, your awe of the storm. Let me tell you a second way this can happen in our lives. I'm talking about strong Christians. I'm talking about you and I, Christians that live for the Lord. I'm not talking about somebody else. I'm talking about us this morning. What's another way that sometimes we can begin to be in awe and reverence of the storm? Here it is. When you are consumed by the storm to the neglect of God, you are in awe of the storm. Are you following me? Sometimes we become so consumed with the storm. It is all we talk about. It is all we think about. It consumes every minute of every day. It consumes us night and day. I'll guarantee you, if you think for a moment, you know some individuals that are right now, they are consumed with the storm more than they are consumed with God. When you see them coming, you know what they're going to talk about. When you see them come, when you are pushing your cart down the grocery store and you see them turn the corner on the other end, you turn and go the other way. Because you know they are consumed by that thing, that person, that circumstance. And you know that that's what they're going to talk about. That's going to be the topic of the conversation. And you've heard it over and over and over again. Do you understand what has happened in their life? They've become more consumed with the storm than they have God. It consumes their thoughts. It consumes their actions. It consumes their words. It permeates everything in their life. And listen to me, when that happens in our lives, we have become in awe of the storm more than in awe of God in our lives. Let me mention just one more. This is a hard one. This is a tough one. But I think it's true. When we are more consumed with beating the storm than we are hearing and obeying God's voice, we've become in awe of the storm. You understand what I'm saying? Because you see, in the midst of the storm, my place in the middle of the storm, Joy, my role in the middle of the storm, it's not to tie more ropes or throw over more tackle or throw over more cargo. It's not to try to figure out where to land that ship. My role in the storm is to listen to God's voice, to hear His voice, to hear what He is saying to me, because I know God's voice is greater than the storm. Lord, You tell me what to do and I'll do it, Lord. You direct me and I'll do it, Lord. But sometime I've watched it, I've seen it in people's lives. Well, we become so consumed with beating the storm, so consumed with beating the storm that indeed we become consumed with that. Our point is not hearing and obeying God anymore. Listen, is your heart set on getting out or is your heart set on serving through? Are you following? Is your heart set on getting out or is your heart set on serving through? That's two different things entirely. When you say, Pastor, well, what do you do when you get in that place? And that's just three ways that we can become and get to a place where we are in fear and awe of the storm more than we are of God. And can I tell you, Pastor, what do we do about that? What do I do if I find myself in that place? This is going to sound simple, but it works. I've seen it work in my life. I've seen it work in Geraldine's life. We too have faced storms. We have been in the midst of place. And can I tell you something? It's simple, but it works. When you find yourself in awe and reverence of the storm, can I tell you what works? Worship. Worship works. Listen to me. And worship, that word worship may have a different characteristic to different people. For some people, worship is music. And if worship is music, listen to me. If you find yourself where you are consumed by that storm, you are consumed by what's going on, all that matters in your life is getting out of that. Can I tell you what will change? Make a difference in the middle of that? If your worship is music, can I tell you, you find you something that exalts God and that praises Him, and you get alone somewhere in a place, in a closet, in a bedroom, out in the back of a field somewhere, and you put on some worship, and you magnify and praise and glorify and honor Him. Why? Because worship orients you to God and away from the storm. Worship orients you to God. That's why it works. For others, worship is, it's more more of being in the Word and allowing the Word to speak. And by the way, I think worship for all of us has parts of the Word and music and meditation on the Lord, and that all of us have some aspects of that. But you know what works for you. What I'm saying to you is, in the middle of that place, you need to worship and adore Him and magnify Him. Why? Listen, because worship orients you toward God. Somewhere along the way, what has happened is your compass has gotten off. Somewhere along the way, your compass has gotten off, and it's not pointing true north anymore. Somewhere in the midst of the jostling of the boat, and it's not pointing true north anymore, but worship recalibrates your compass. Worship recalibrates your soul so that no matter how loud the storm is, you can still hear God's voice. No matter how fierce the storm is, you can still tune into Him, and you can still hear Him in your life. Worship orients you to God and away from the storm. And you might say, Pastor, why is that important? Listen to me. Don't miss this morning. Why is that important? Here's why it's important. You must know that you cannot bow before the storm, because you are supposed to stand before kings. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Paul had been told by God he was going to stand before Caesar. He was going to stand before the king. Now listen to me. If you're going to stand before the king, you can't bow before the storm. If you're going to stand before the king, you can't. Listen, if you bow before the storm, you'll never stand before the king. On the other hand, if you stand before the king, then you'll never. Listen, if you stand before the storm, then you'll never bow before the king. You are destined. Listen to me. God has a plan for your life that is past the storm, that is beyond the storm. You know why the storm is not going to take you under? You know why you're not going to bow before the storm? Because you are destined to stand before kings, my friend. To stand before kings. That is fascinating. When you read and you unpack this story, and I'll just show you just two examples of this from Paul's life. Let me just show you two things in Paul's life and the way this worked out in his life. You remember the end of the story. Paul, the ship does, Levon, the ship does break up, and some of them cling to boards, and some of them cling to rafts, and some of them cling to each other and anything they can, and they find themselves on the island of Malta. You would think, wouldn't you, that was the end of it, right? That was the end of the storm. But you know the story. And I don't have time, and it doesn't fit this morning to preach all of the detail of that. But isn't it fascinating that Paul made it through the storm? And there he is. He's just gathering some wood for a fire. Like some of us men have done oftentimes. He just gathered for some wood for some fire, and a viper bites him. Viper lashes onto his hand and bites him. And isn't it just like people? This story, there's some parts in the Bible that just crack me up, and this one is one of the ones that just cracks me up. Paul is bitten by the viper in Acts chapter 28. He's bitten by the viper, and the first thing the men say as they look at him, the first thing they say is, what? He deserved that. He must be a man of... He must be a murderer. He must have a man that has no character. There's something wrong with him because he got bit by a viper. Listen to me. Somebody needs to hear this morning. Just because the serpent strikes you doesn't mean there's anything wrong with you. It may be that God is carrying you through to something. Listen, just because he strikes against you doesn't mean he has won over you. But the world will tell you that. The world will tell you you deserve that. That's payback. In fact, they'll tell you, they'll slip in. Even Christians sometimes will say things, well, that's just bad karma. Not even realizing that they're invoking mystical religions when they say that. But what's fascinating to me, what's hilarious to me about the story, is it says that Paul just shook it off, right? He just keeps picking up wood, and all of the guys that are sitting over there, you keep watching him now, he's going to fall dead any minute. Because justice, when they said justice, you read the story there, it says, when they said justice, they were talking about the God of justice. They were talking about their God of justice. Justice has sentenced him, and he is going to die. And they keep watching him, and he doesn't die, and he doesn't swell up, and he just keeps building a fire and building a fire. You know the next thing they say? The next thing they say is he must be blessed by God. Isn't it hilarious what people say? I mean, just a few minutes before, this man was a scoundrel. He was a murderer. He deserved to get bitten by a snake. And the next minute, when he didn't die, they're all about how wonderful he is. And he's blessed by God. Listen to me. Listen to me. Don't listen to the voice of the crowd. Don't listen to the voice of the crowd. The same people that are for you one minute will be against you the next. And the same people that are against you, when you get a blessing by God, they'll be for you. Don't listen to the crowd. Keep your ears tuned in to the voice of the Lord, my friend. But watch what happens because of that. Because of that. They see this man. He's bitten by a snake and doesn't die. So what do? They go and they introduce him to the governor, whose father is laying in the bed sick, about to die. He is on his deathbed. Watch this. But what they knew is death wasn't able to destroy this man. So let's see what this man can do about death. And he walks up and the Bible says that he laid his hands on him and he healed him. And when he healed him, Virginia, they ran off then. And my mother-in-law was sick. You know that's a miracle when you want your mother-in-law prayed for. I mean, they ran everybody that they could find that was sick. The Bible says everybody on the whole island. Can you imagine living on an island where every little sniffle, every little sickness, every little disease was healed? You talk about revival, my friend. They had revival on the island of Malta. Now listen to me. Listen to me. When Paul was in the middle of the storm, God had revival in mine on Malta. And I'm telling you that in your life, you do not know what's over the next horizon or around the next bend. You don't know what's over the crest of the next wave, but I will guarantee you this. God has a plan for you that is beyond the storm. Your life doesn't end at the storm. Your life doesn't end at the shipwreck. God has a plan. God has a purpose. God has something more he is going to do for you. Life, it goes on after the storm, my friend. They had revival on the island of Malta. God had that in store. He had that in plan, in time, in plan all along. Let me show you the other end of the story. The way other end of the story is found in Philippians. You don't have to turn there. You can go there and read it sometimes. Philippians is one of my favorite stories in the or letters that Paul wrote. It's one of the prison epistles. He wrote it while he was in prison in a Roman jail. Philippians, Paul is writing back to the Philippians. The church at Philippi is actually one of the churches that Paul was the closest to. He was the nearest to. They were the dearest to his heart. Paul is writing back to them. Now remember, when he's writing Philippians, Paul actually says, I'm not sure. I'm not absolutely sure exactly how this is going to work out. I know that tomorrow they could call for my head. But in chapter 1, Paul says something fascinating. As he's writing to the Philippians and he's talking to them, he says, I want you to know, my brethren, because of my imprisonment here. He's in a Roman jail now. Remember, this Roman jail most likely is housed close to, it's considered part of the house of Caesar. In other words, he was in jail to see Caesar, and he was in a prison, most likely under some kind of house arrest, guarded by prisoners and just awaiting for some word. Now watch what happens. Paul says, I want you to know, my brethren, what has happened because of my imprisonment here. He says, the first thing that has happened is this. All those of the house of Caesar All those of the house of Caesar have heard about the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You understand what God is doing? Paul is in prison waiting to steal Caesar. And yet, watch this. Every guy that feeds Paul a meal, they hear about Jesus. Every prisoner that comes through, they hear about Jesus. Every guard that walks by that door out there, they hear about Jesus. So much so that Paul says the whole household of Caesar himself has heard the gospel of Jesus. Can I tell you something? When Paul was in the middle of the storm, God had this in mind for Paul. After the storm, Joy, there was no way that ship was going to take Paul down, because Paul had to stand before a king. He wasn't about to bow before a storm. He still had to stand before a king. It says not only that, watch this. Not only are the household of Caesar, not only had they have heard, but every prisoner. It had gone through the jail. Paul, the word that he is speaking, it has gone through the jail. And every prisoner now has heard the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can I tell you something? That when Paul was in the storm, God had those prisoners in mind. Paul, you're not going down with this ship. You're not going down with this storm. There's life after the storm, Paul. Not only that. There in Philippians, he says this. He says, not only that. Because of my imprisonment, all the other brethren. You understand, when Paul was locked up, there were still people out there preaching. There were still people out there proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul says this, because of my imprisonment, because they hear that Caesar's house has now heard about Jesus, because they hear that the guards and all the prisoners now have heard about Jesus. Paul says, because of that, they are more encouraged and they preach the word more boldly now than they ever have before. Can I tell you something? God had a plan for Paul's life after the storm. There is life after the storm. Amen? And in your life this morning, I want to tell you something. As we bring this series to a close, and I know there's some of you, you're facing some things that you never thought you'd face. You're up against some things you never thought you would be up against before. You're having a battle with some things you never in my wildest dreams did I think I would be here. Can I tell you something this morning? There is life after the storm. God is not through with you. God is not finished with you. God has not closed the book. He has not closed the book on your life. He is not through. There is life after the storm. So what do you do, Pastor? What do you do? Listen to me this morning. God is guiding you through the storm. Listen to His voice. God is guiding you through the storm. Listen to His voice. Listen, God is not about to let you down, and He's not about to let you go down with the ship. God has a plan for your life. Don't bow before the storm. You're still going to stand before kings. God still has great things in plans. God still has great things in store. God still has something phenomenal that He is going to do in your life. Trust His voice. There is life after the storm. Amen? God has a plan for you after the storm, so trust His voice during the storm. God has a plan for you after the storm, so trust His voice during the storm. This morning, I want you to know, whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through, whatever you're up against, you can trust Him, because He has a plan for you after the storm. There may be a revival on a little island of your life. I thought that was a dried over, burnt over island. God may have a revival planned there. I thought that relationship was done. God may have a revival planned there. I thought that place in my life was dead. God may have a revival planned there. God may also, beyond that, God may be going to do something beyond somebody else that's around you, somebody that sees you walking and going through the storm, and God has a revival in their life plan. Listen to me. God has plans for you after the storm, so you can trust His voice during the storm. During the storm. This morning, I want to close with praying over you. I want you to stand to your feet this morning. I just want to pray a prayer over you. Father, as I come to you this morning, I thank you and I praise you that you are greater than the storm, and there is victory in the storm, and there is life after the storm. Lord, there's some individuals that are here this morning. You know who they are, and I know who some of them are because they've shared with me. This is right where they are this morning. And Lord, they need to know that there is life after the storm. They need to know that you still have a plan for them. They need to know that you still have something incredible that you're going to do in their lives. They need to know, Lord, that you still are going to bring revival and you still are going to work in ways, Lord, that will bring glory to your name and bring good into their life, God. They need to know, Lord, there's life after the storm. And so I pray encouragement this morning. I pray encouragement this morning, Lord, that you will encourage those that are deep in the storm. You will encourage those, God, who can't tell if it's night or day. You will encourage those, God, who've come to the end of themselves and done everything they can do. You will encourage them that you're not going to let them down. You're not going to let them go down with the ship, that you still have plans for their life after the storm. God, I thank you and I praise you for that this morning. And I pray encouragement in their lives, and I pray hope in their lives, and I pray peace in their lives. Father, I thank you and I praise you right now that there is life after the storm. And we honor you in it and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. I have not lost sight of you. You are not lost to me. My throne has not been moved. My authority has not been shaken. I am still in control. I am still in charge. Do not look to the storm, to the clouds, for the break in the clouds. Do not look to the clouds for the answer. Look to me. Look into my life and look into my face for the answer to your life and what's going on in your life. Look to me, not to the storm. And in me, you will find not only the peace for the storm, but you will understand that I have plans for you beyond the storm. My child, I love you. You are not lost to me, and I have not left you. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. We thank you and we praise you, Lord, for life after the storm. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Can we just stay in this place just for a moment this morning? Maybe you are there just, maybe there's somebody that's close to you. If you are an individual this morning that you just need someone to agree with you in prayer, Will you just reach out and take them by the hand? Maybe there's somebody. Yes, I see. Yes, yes. Let's just pray there. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Maybe there's somebody else. There's others that are moving, some that are moving. God wants to speak into your life right now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. God, these individuals that are going through this storm, these individuals, Lord, that are going through these difficulties, you see them, Lord. You see what they are facing. I pray by the power of the Spirit right now, Lord. Now, this morning has had kind of a different feel, but I thank you that you're faithful, Lord. You see people's hearts, and you see what they are going through, and you see what they are facing. I pray that this morning, Lord, you will bring peace. You will bring encouragement, Lord. You will bring hope into their lives right now, Lord. They need to hear from you and hear and sense what you are speaking and what you are saying into their lives. And I thank you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. Peace, Lord. Peace, Lord. Peace, Lord, in the midst of their storms right now. I thank you and I praise you for it. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. We honor you, Lord, in what you're doing this morning. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Just take your hand, if you will, and lay it on the shoulder of somebody next to you right now. Father, I thank you, Lord, that every individual here this morning, every individual here this morning will have a sense, a new sense, that you are closer than the person that is putting their hand on their shoulder. That you care about them and you love them, Lord, and you see what they're in the middle of and you see what they're facing. God, I thank you and I praise you, Lord, for your power resident in their lives. I thank you, God, that in the midst of your presence, Lord, there is fullness of joy. And I pray for joy this morning, Lord, in the lives of individuals that are here. No matter what they are facing, I pray that joy, joy, joy will rise up inside of them. And I thank you, and I praise you for that joy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Aren't you glad we serve a God who cannot be scripted? God doesn't follow a script. He does what he needs and what he sees fit that needs to be done. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance up upon you and give you peace. Father, we thank you and we praise you for the privilege that we've had. And we thank you for honoring and being faithful this morning to individuals that needed you to touch their lives. Amen. God bless you.